It was the delay. It was. Somebody said, I need a few minutes to get this ready. Oh, that's no problem. There's always something you can talk about, right? But Psalm 119. By the way, it's good to be home. I'm glad to be back. We had the, you know, Brother Andrew and I, we were in Europe for a few weeks, and then we come home, and then I'm here for a little while, then gone for vacation. But I'm glad to be home and be back doing what the Lord's called me to do after some good rest. And we had a blessed time in Missouri there. It was a blessing, but it's good to be back home. It always is good to be home. Amen. So it just it's a blessing. And we've got a lot of preaching to do, guys. We are going to be very busy. I think it's three Saturdays in a row. Is that right, Brother Jacob? I think it's three. Okay, maybe a Friday in there or something, but we'll figure it out. But we got a lot of preaching to do, so I hope you're ready and able, and you ladies are praying for us and very gracious with your time as we're going to get out there and preach to literally hundreds of thousands of people all over the Twin Cities area. So you pray for them and pray for us. This is a very vexing schedule this next 3 weeks, and the reason it's so vexing is because it's nasty. It's the lowest of society in that sense. I don't mean that by money or anything like that. I mean that by depravity. It's very against natural affection. It's just very depraved. It's very hard to preach at those events like that. People think that we like, you know, that kind of confrontation with that. We don't. It's very hard to go out there and tell people that and have to be that straight, hard preaching that needs to be done in order to give them the truth and not, you know, not be discouraged or not walk away from it in disgust. You know, it does. So pray for us as we do that, okay? But for now, we're going to get back into this, what we talked about in Psalm 119. We'll be all over. We're in Proverbs 2 as well. But we were talking this morning, we preached about the Word of God for children being their guide and what God expects from us. And the Bible says, hear thou my son and be wise and guide thine heart in the way. We'll get to Psalm 119 in a minute here. But our text verse is here. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction and understanding. You know, the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. What is it talking about? Investing. You're investing. You're giving everything that you have into the truth, believing it. And an investment is, you buy an investment and it always increases in value. Earthly investments don't, but heavenly ones do, right? And that's what the Bible means. You own the truth. You take the truth and you own it. You buy it. You have a vested interest in it. And you give all to that truth, and you submit all to the truth, and you sell it not for anything. You don't sell out your vineyard, you don't sell out your principles, you don't sell out the truth, but you hold to it, and you keep to it no matter what. And you stick to it no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way, whatever temptations come your way, whatever challenges come your way, you stick to it. You keep it. You hold to the truth. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Father in heaven, Lord, bless us now as we look at the Scriptures. Help us, Lord, as we finish this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I might turn a little bit this way because the wind is catching that mic, but hopefully that'll help a little bit. I'm not ignoring you. I'll point over and yell at you sometimes, Luke, so you don't feel like I'm leaving you out, okay? All right. Let's see. We will pick up here. We talked about following your heart, the dangers of following your heart and not following your principles, not guiding your own heart and following the principles from the Word of God, established from the Scriptures, the pure principles of the Word of God found in the Scriptures, the commands of God and the principles that are based that we have in our lives based on those commands, and that we're not trying to get out of anything. We're not trying to. Oh, can I just get by? But I'm really all in and I want to live for God. I really want to walk with God. I really have a desire to walk with God in this wicked world that I live in. That's important. That's how a young man shall cleanse his ways, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. By taking heed. Again, some of you are entering into a time of your life of vast challenges, and you need to have your principles set. So you understand that as you face these things, you know what you believe and why you believe it, and you're not willing to move from it. That's what you need to do. And the Word of God is the basis for all that. Now, secondarily, God did not leave you without guidance in this earth. He left you the words of God, but He also left you, number two, your parents. He left you godly parents. In this sense, you all, He left you godly parents. And you must follow your parents' instruction that they've laid down for you. You must allow your parents to guide you and to lead you. Of course, we know full well that you can resist many things. You're well able to. We're all well able to resist things. But God has given you parents. You children will have an opportunity and more liberty. And that can be a dangerous thing for your life and your heart, because it will expose you to much evil along the way. The Bible says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8 through 10. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." You know, the father and the mother should have the same message. The father gives, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." The mother is the one that is going to be typically guiding the home, and she's going to be guiding you through a number of things. But the father is supposed to lay down the instruction. Lay it down clearly for his wife and for his children to understand. Look what he says here. "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." And what this verse means is that the greatest of golden chains or crowns or jewelry on the head or hanging from your neck can add no beauty comparable to the beauty of a young person who obeys their parents' instructions. Those respectful children shine in a dark world because they carry with them a maturity the world's children do not have. It is a beauty. There is a beauty to obedience. There is a beauty to following the instructions and the guidance that your parents give you. There is a beauty with that. There is a shine that will come to that. You know, when a young man is looking at a young Christian lady, the one thing he needs to look at and the parents need to look at is, well, do they obey their parents? Do they love their father and mother and have a good relationship with them? Do they love them? Do they obey their commandments? The one thing that you have to be careful with is in that time of courtship and different times like that, or children having interests, is that young man never downplays that father's authority. Because what he's going to do is set himself up to downplay his own authority one day. Teach them and hold your respect for authority. Hold your respect for it. Teach them to hold their respect for it. I've had my children come up to me, and not about courtship or anything like that in that sense, but come up to me and make comments about different fathers that have different things. And I've told them, you know what, son, our daughter, whoever it is, I said, look, that family has things that they live by and standards they hold to. You respect them. You respect their standards. You don't speak against their parents. You don't speak against what they're doing. We're all going to have differences like that. You respect those differences. And as long as those things aren't, you know, utterly sinful things that are a problem, then you should respect one another. And you teach children to respect other adults. If your children only have a respect for you and they treat other adults like garbage, they don't respect you either. They're just waiting for a time to rebel. They don't respect you either. You teach children to respect adults, period. To be respectful. They respect other adults, other families, other fathers, other mothers, and they have a respect there. They're obedient. They listen. And they're respectful. You ought to watch that. You watch for that rebellion. You look for that. You look for that attitude and try to correct that. So they respect all people in that sense. Now, we understand there's going to be evil people, and that's a different story. But when it comes to other parents and other things like that in their interaction, you teach them, you know what, son, we respect them. You know, daughter, we respect them. We don't do that in our home, but they have every right to do that in theirs. And you don't put them down. You respect them. Some people's parents let them read this, and some won't let them read that, and some will let them do this, and some will let them. You respect that. There's nothing wrong. You don't have to agree with it. You can respect it. You be respectful. You'll never go wrong teaching your children to be respectful, because they'll respect authority. And you stop that talk of disrespect when you hear it. You don't let them disrespect people like that, because that respect that they have, them listening to the instruction of their father, them forsaking not the law of their mother, it is an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. Because by the way, the world notices it. You know what? When your children are in public and you say, son, daughter, don't do that, or you sit there and eat your food, or you be, they notice it and they watch and they're amazed by it. Why? Because they don't see children do that today. It is an ornament of grace. It does show. It's a countenance that shows, because there's, they actually have some respect. Yeah. They yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, or yes, mom, yes, dad, whatever you do in your family, but it's a respect, and there's answers. You know, they answer back. They have a respect there. That needs to be there. That's what we're teaching them. And children, if you live by the instruction of your father and mother in that sense, you won't go wrong by that. Verse number 10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Let me explain something to you children, and listen very closely, because your parents will agree with this too. All men and women and children have teachers. You let somebody teach you something. All of us do, whether we learn from books, whether we learn from other people's actions, whether we learn from instruction, all of us learn from people. We have teachers that we learn from. If you pick the wrong instructors, if you pick the wrong teachers, you're going to be in trouble. We are vessels meant to learn. If we are not learning from good teachers or teachers of good things, then we are learning from bad teachers and teachers of bad things. But make no mistake about it, you're learning from somebody. You know, the Christian kid that is in the church and in the, you know, grows up in that, grows up doing that, and then they go out to the world and then they rebel against their parents. Why? Well, they're listening to other instructions. Somebody has taught them to rebel against their parents. Somebody has told them, oh, there's a better way to do this. You don't have to do that. Somebody has talked them, number one, out of the Bible and its authority. And then number two, they've talked them out of their parents' instruction and wisdom that's been given them. So their attitude changes and they start doing different things. They start taking on the world's principles. Somebody teaches you. So the question is, who are you allowing to teach you? Who are you allowing to instruct you? If you read and you follow after people, or you watch on the internet, or you follow worldly friends, you're allowing them to be your teachers and instructors. And they will instruct you out of the Word of God, away from it. They won't instruct you with the Word of God. They'll instruct you out of the words of God. Is God's Word your main teacher and your parents to follow? Or are you going to be a stool pigeon for foolish men in the world that'll teach you everything contrary to what your parents taught you and what your pastor taught you? Will you let some slick-talking fools in the world talk you out of your purity? Or talk you out of your walk with God? Or talk you out of your faith or your Bible? I've seen men in the world mock a young man who walks in purity and is not a womanizer, but has kept themselves for marriage. I watch them mock them. Laugh at them and make fun of them and say there's something wrong with them. Or tell them they're a queer because they haven't defiled themselves with a woman and they've waited for marriage. And assume that there's something wrong with them. By the way, there's nothing wrong with you. You're supposed to wait on God, and you're supposed to wait until you're married. And you're supposed to walk in purity. That's what God wants for your life. There's nothing weird about that. There's nothing effeminate about that. There's nothing homosexual about that. It is absolutely 100% biblical to wait on God and to wait to be married and to wait to so your life honors God. It's a blessing from God. And don't you ever let anyone talk to you any differently about that. It is a blessing, and you will have a clear conscience and a lot easier road to go than if you don't wait on God. Worldly men will mock and tease, and they will make fun of innocence. Pay them no mind. They're mockers and scoffers. Your heart will be comforted and your conscience clear before God, and it will make for a much smoother marriage when you've given yourself to one and one alone. Let me ask you something, young man. Will you let some silly, immodest slut come along and talk you out of your purity? Is that too straight talk for you? I can't get it straight enough. Some nasty, disgusting whore that wants to come along and talk you out of your purity and seduce you. That's just the truth, friend. That's straight language. But you won't be able to say, I'm confused as to what that preacher believes. Preacher, what are you saying exactly? You won't do that. You won't be able to say, man, I didn't know. I wasn't warned. Nobody told me. You won't be able to say to you, man, that guy preached it straight, right between the eyeballs. Told you about, and by the way, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the problem. We're going to talk about the strange woman. We're going to talk about the foolish young man, the simple. Oh, yeah, we're mining. We're going to, by the grace of God, we're going to go all the way through it. I'm going to make sure by the grace of God that you're warned, young people, about all of these things. So my conscience is clear before God that I warned you, that I was faithful to God, and I gave you what you were supposed to have. And if you didn't follow it, then with tears I'll say, I warned you though. I did warn you. I may have failed in some other ways, but this way I won't. By God's grace, I'll have warned you and I'll have been specific. And I won't play in generalities. I'll tell you the truth. I'll rip the cover off the nasty perversion of it and tell you how sick and disgusting it is and how it'll leave you in ruin. Because that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to take your life, your testimony, your purity, and ruin it, destroy it, smash it down, and defile it. That's what he wants to do. And I am free to preach at the next teenage conference, too. I'm free all summer to preach at the teen conference. I won't be giving away an Xbox, but I will be preaching your hide off. We'll preach at the next family conference. Faith and Family Conference. Yes. At least once, right, Brother Paul? At least once they'll let us in, right?
No.
Maybe.
No way.
This is camp. This, hey, all I've told you is this is camp meeting stuff right here. All right. We're going to focus on the family. That's right. Why do they take all the good stuff? There's nothing wrong with focusing on the family, right? That's a good thing. Right? They always do, don't they? That's what the world does. By the way, don't let some immodest, like I said, don't let some immodest girl come along, young man, and talk you out of your purity because she dresses like a tramp and is the opposite of your godly mother. By the way, it ought to make you wonder, if you look at your godly mother, your modest mother, and then if you happen to be out in the world working, and some girl comes along and you strike up some kind of an interest, look at her and then look at your mother! And use your God-given brain. Quit sitting on it. And use it. Now do a comparison. Yes, I'm yelling. I don't even need this microphone. I am a street preacher. I don't need a microphone. But anyway. Right. Look at your mother. If the comparison is the opposite, walk away. Don't walk. Run. Run for your life. Chew your arm off if you have to. Get out of the snare and the trap. Run from the strange woman. I mean it. Man, I'm not playing. I'm being so dead serious right now with you. I hope this keeps you awake at night. I'm that serious. I mean it. To not see your life destroyed, I will scream at you till I'm dead. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that happen to you. Because it doesn't have to happen. If you think you've got a better way, you're a fool. And I'm just going to be straight. You are a fool if you think you can do better than God. Because you look over at your godly mother, if that lady you're looking at, or that interest you have, or that little sparkle comes into your eye of something, you better compare her to your mother and say, you know what? I don't think so. I don't think so. No way. This woman don't want to follow God. This woman, she's not a godly woman. Yeah, don't make the comparisons after you're married. That's right. Make them before. Yeah. Before. And then run. Run like the devil's chasing you, because he is. Amen. By the way, same goes for some slick-talking man that tries to smooth their way in. Nope. They don't compare to your godly father, the godly men that you're around at your church. So if there's an opposite comparison, that ought to wake you up to say, you know what, I better stay away from them. And as a father, you better look at your daughters, you better stay away from them. Or you better go talk to that man, so you stay away from my daughter. Right? Young lady shouldn't even be in the world, because you're never meant to be in the world. You should not even begin to have a relationship with the opposite sex outside of your father's guidance. Your father's to guide those things. Your mother's to be involved with that. By the way, be critical. If there's any time in your life that you're going to be critical, would you please do it about the person you're going to marry? Please? Some of you could be critical about pizza, but you wouldn't be critical about that. No, be critical about that. Why? Because it's your children. It's your future. It's your grandchildren. Will you children let the world talk you out of the instructions of your father and mother? And you as fathers and mothers, you've been instructed that there might be a strong foundation and principle for them to cling to. Proverbs 5:5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Only a fool despises his father's instruction. Now, obviously, he's not talking about a ungodly, wicked father that tells you, here, drink this fifth of Jack Daniels. He's not talking about a guy like that, right? You can't listen to that instruction like that. Solomon is speaking of a father that walks with the Lord in wisdom, right? None of you can go back to your lost family or say, oh, Dad, I think I'll listen to your instruction. Well, no, that's not a good idea. Or those that aren't walking with the Lord. Obviously, you're not going to listen to them. He's talking about you in this church right now, your children, as you raise your children. You children ought to be going to your parents. You children, as you raise up, as you get older, you're going to be confronted with things. You better ask your mom and dad, Mom, Dad, what do you think about this? I mean, they've only raised you for like 18, 20 years. Right? You ought to be able to ask them, Dad, Mom, what do you think? You better be asking them. I don't want anybody controlling me. Man, I don't want anybody controlling me either, but I don't want to be an idiot either. Right? I don't want to be a fool either. Right. And ignore my father's wisdom and instructions, been around for 40 years longer than me and not listen to anything they say. Right. Or other godly men that are around you, you don't listen to them. Let me ask you a question. Do you regard reproof? Do you regard being blamed to your face when you're wrong? Do you regard that? Are you thankful for that? Do you listen to that? That somebody will tell you the truth. That they'll tell you the truth. They'll instruct you and they'll tell you when you're wrong and they'll blame you to your face. Or do you say, you just don't like me anymore? Like a little kid? Kick your feet and think nobody likes you? Right? Or pout about it? Or are you willing to accept the reproof? Are you willing to be blamed to your face and told that you're wrong? Well, I don't like somebody always telling me I'm wrong. What, do you want somebody telling you you're right all the time? Is that what you want? You want somebody telling you you're right all the time? You want them to stroke your ego? Like Brother Paul and I talked about that geocentricity today. And he said, Google always changes geocentricity on my computer to egocentricity. And I said, well, that must be why they reject geocentricity, because they're for egocentricity. Right? They got big egos and they got to follow those. So, but honestly, is that what we are? Egocentricity. You know, we ego-centered? That we just don't want to be told we're wrong ever? We kind of are like that, aren't we? We don't really, I mean, nobody's very comfortable with somebody saying, hey, you're wrong. But guess what? We're wrong sometimes. And we need friends that will look at us and say, brother, sister, you're wrong. Don't do that. And that you love somebody enough to tell them that they're wrong. Don't do that. Or do you just get angry and hate it? And get all defensive and immature about it and not willing to accept that, you know what, I'm wrong. You know, he's right. She's right. It's wrong. I mean, there's been times in my marriage very, very subtly or respectfully that I've done something and my wife and I have had a conversation. She said something. She didn't say, no, you're wrong, like that. Yell at me. She's never done that to me. But she can just say something simple and make me think. I'm like, oh. I remember one time I told her, and I'm not going to apologize for this. And I went outside and started shoveling. I'm like, I'm not apologizing. God said, you better get back in there and apologize. I ain't doing that. You better get back there and ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
I ain't doing it. All right, Lord. I'm doing it. Go back in. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Why? Because I was wrong. There's sometimes we're just wrong. And you young people need to understand there's going to be a lot more times. Listen to me. You're going to be wrong more than you're right. And the reason for that is because you don't have discernment of years yet. And you learn that with time. Whoa, I'm staying away from that. Whoa, I'm not going to do that. You're going to be wrong more than you're right at times. Why? Because your senses have not been exercised to discern between both good and evil. Oh, yes, I am. I mean, I'm a whole 18. I know what I'm doing. Hey, what do you peons know? You're only 3 times my age. Now, none of you would say that, but you think that when you walk away from your parents and they give you instruction. You're just like, what do they know? They don't understand how it is. I know what I'm talking about. I've been experienced for a whole 5 minutes what I'm doing. I got it figured out. It's like that apprentice that comes along, Paul. He's going to teach you how to do what you're doing. I mean, he knows what he's going to show you how to do it. I just got out of school. I don't know what you've been doing, old man, but I got out of school. Oh, you went to school. Look, everybody, he went to school. Now he really knows what he's talking about because he went to school. Right? Then you look at some guy that's been doing it for like 30 years. You look at him like he's some kind of fool. Well, it's the other way around. You got youthful, foolish ambition, and you don't know what you're doing, and you ought to be begging that guy to instruct you and teach you. And humble yourself and listen to what they have to say. Right? But after all, you went to school. See how it is? That's how it is with young people. Your discernment is not exercised yet. Now is proving time. Garrick's a 21-year-old man. You know what? He's entering into that time of challenge where it's like married, out there, working, everything thrown at you, the world's coming. Now your faith is really being tested in the world. And to be faithful to God, right? Brother Luke, you're entering into that time. You're out there. Now your faith is really being tested. Because guess what? You're sleeping in that truck sometimes. You're out there on the road sometimes. Mom and Dad aren't looking over your shoulder now. But Jesus is. But now it's being tested. And you young men that are getting out in that, now you're starting to, now you're going to see your faith being tested. Now you're going to be approaching things and challenged by things. Like some of your other brethren that are in their 20s and 30s have just newly saved or saved a few years, and they were challenged and being challenged. That's what happens. It's like, so who are you going to lean on? Are you going to lean on the slick-talking people you work with that are going to tell you, hey, there's nothing wrong with having a beer. I mean, look what it did to me. I'm doing great. I'm on my third marriage and I'm 20. Everything's going great. Only got 3 DUIs. I'm doing good. Why don't you have a beer with me? Right? Yeah, I got to blow in my truck. Just kidding. Right? Oh, y'all listen to them. No, I think you better listen to people that are walking with God. I think you better listen to your dad and mom that gave you the instructions. Nothing's changed. Your circumstances have changed. Your challenges have changed. But the principles that you've been taught should not change. This Word of God has not changed. It's the same instructions that He gave you. Your circumstances changed, but the Word of God abideth faithful. The truth has not changed. It's still there. Right there. And God still expects you to obey it and follow it. Do you regard the instructions that you've been given by your parents, children? Do you regard the reproof of your father? Do you think you have a father and a mother by accident? Do you think that God does not know what is best for you? So He gave you godly parents in this life? I've told my oldest son one thing, and I pray to God that he listens to me. I pray with him every night to that end. Now, you're about to enter a time in your life where you have more liberty. You're going to have a lot of challenges come your way and a lot of exposure to things, and you're going to have more liberty, and you're going to have to go out and work, and you're going to have to do these things. But I'm going to tell you what, I know what the law says. I know what the government says. I don't care what they say, but I know what they say. I know what all these people say, that you can do what you want in this way and that way. But let me tell you something. If you'll trust the Lord and you'll trust me, let me govern what you're doing. Let me govern these next couple years and help you navigate through life. Help you navigate these important decisions. Help you navigate how you deal with certain things. How you look at things for the future, for career and for working. And I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about making you do something or forcing you. I'm saying helping you and governing you and guiding you through it. It's an important time for young men when they get to that age, that you help guide them through that and instruct them through that. Your finances and how you deal with that and how you look at buying things and how you look at the future and how you look at a relationship, how you look at eventual marriage and preparing yourself for marriage and as best you can. None of us are 100% prepared for that, but as best you can, right? And let me govern you and guide you through it. I realize that, I mean, you can rebel against, I mean, I realize that you can. I can also pray to God and believe it. Believe me, God answers my prayers, and I will. Oh, I will. But let me guide you through it. Let me teach you through that. And use wisdom and instruction. So you don't go out and act like a fool like I did. Amen. I mean it. I absolutely mean it. But I told him, you need to trust me and trust the Lord. Let me veto some things in your life that will destroy your future. A young man needs and desires of his heart need to be guided. Whatever it is, financial stability, career, marriage, other things. But if you rebel and go your own way and sin against the Lord, you'll have much sorrow in the future. Parents, don't assume anything about your children. Be proactive. Engage them. Pray with them for their future. Guide them through it. Someone will. If it's not you, it might be the tramp down the road. the whore down the street or the slick-talking man, the older man at work. Whoever it is, these worldly influences, they'll try to do it. Children, the Bible warns you of one thing here. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Cease, my son, stop listening to fools. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It's like something you just look at, you just keep it blunt. Hey, stop listening to fools. That's what he's saying. Cease from their instruction. They're fools. Don't listen to them. By the way, if they speak against this word and contrary to this word, it's because there's no truth in them. They're fools. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Oh, I can learn and glean lots of good stuff from them. Yeah, how to be a fool. They might have to teach you how to do something at work, but I'm not going to take my life advice from a fool. And then, by the way, when a young person is following their passions and desires, they're not paying attention to the fact that the guy that's trying to advise them is an absolute loser that can't do anything outside their family. Everything's falling apart. They're not faithful. But this fool is going to tell them how their parents are wrong and they're going to do it right. Amen. So the question is, who will you listen to? Your heart? Your peers? A fool will seek counsel from his youthful peers, primarily, that is. Your friends might give you good scriptural advice. That'd be a blessing. Don't do this, please. It'll get you in trouble. Trying to recover you, okay? But for the most part, you should be getting your advice from your parents, your pastor, elder people in the faith that are following the Lord, that have a track record of faithfulness. And that love the Lord. And by the way, that are married and love each other. Right? That's who you should be getting advice from. Let me tell you this too. There are no shortcuts. Some of you will watch a YouTube video, listen, you know, read a book, and we do it all. I do those things too. I'm not saying that they're wrong. But when you try to gain life experience and wisdom from some blanket video or even good books in that sense, some of that is like almost a shortcut. You know why? Because you know what's humbling is to walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, Brother Paul, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?" And he's going to look at you and he's going to give you what he thinks about it. And with that's going to come a personal touch, right? It's going to be like, he cares. He's invested in your life, right? So he's not going to just be like some blank book that you're reading. It's somebody that's going to give you advice and say, "But I really care. Please don't do this with your life. Listen to this instruction." Instead, "Well, yeah, but I learned this and I read this in a book, so I got it." That's not going to be the same as the people that are around you that are going to be like, "Look, don't do this." That are going to give you that personal instruction. It's different. There's no shortcuts. Your parents didn't get there by taking shortcuts. "Oh, I gained all this wisdom from a YouTube channel." Yeah, you could about woodworking. You could do that about a number of different things, right? "Hey, I learned how to make pizza crust." Mandy had to help me, but I learned how to make pizza crust from a video. That's great. But guess what? Life and raising and living for God and everything, I'm not going to ask them. We're going to come together and be like, "Hey, what do I do about this? What should we do about this?" I can watch a video how to chop a tree down. I can also let it fall on my head. So you know what I did? I said, "Lee, you have to come over and chop this tree down." Like, I don't care what the video said. I don't want this falling on my head. Right? I watched Paul drop a tree between this. One time he dropped that tree over at my old house. He dropped that thing right in the middle between. Remember that? When he dropped that thing, he fell that thing right on the spot that he said it was going to fall. Now, if I'd have tried that, it fell on my head. Fell on my house. Fell on anything. He dropped that thing right there. Why? Because he had wisdom, experience, time. And he watched you. But how many did you cut? And have you cut? He said he started doing a chainsaw when he was 9. Right? I started when I was 40. 7, 6. No, I'm not 47 yet. 44, 45. Yeah, not the same. I don't have that experience. Same thing with being married and everything, and understanding and learning and growing with those issues. We don't have it all figured out. And you're not going to... This book will guide you, and it's the guide of our lives. It's the authority for everything that any advice anybody ever gives you must be right with the Word of God. If it's not, then it's thrown out. Amen? But God gave you people around you to learn from. Don't just tell people what you're doing. Ask. If you need advice, ask. There's people that have been around a lot of years. Some of you have spent like 3 times the amount of money on things or whatever the case may be. Maybe it's not money or it doesn't matter what it is. My point is because we don't ask. Maybe somebody knows something that I don't. And we just don't ask. Maybe I need advice about something and we just don't ask. And well, we don't want anybody to know we actually don't know what we're doing. Well, they already know that. What are you worried about? No one ever thought you did know what you were doing. At least I didn't. I'm just kidding. We're all here by the grace of God. We don't know what we're doing. We just have a book that tells us, right? The book that we follow. Amen. And all other books fail. This one doesn't. This one is 100%. Amen. You know, if you want someone to tell you no, if you're headed in for a train, let me ask you a question. Would you rather enjoy the pleasures of whatever it is your will is or your way is or whatever it is than for somebody to tell you, no, that's a really bad idea? And then it ends up in a train wreck. Do you want somebody to tell you no if you're making a big mistake? Do you care? Or would you rather just have the freedom to make a big mistake? Yes. You have a freedom to act like a fool. We all do. We do have that freedom, right? We can. But would you rather be warned and saved from a lot of sorrow, heartache, and pain? Or would you rather just, well, I think I'll just blow it all and mess it all up and then, you know, be like, what do you think I should do now that I'm in a big mess? Well, I think you should have listened way back then and asked for advice, but now that we're in this place, we'll move on, but that's the way it is. Hopefully, your parents have enough sense to butt into your children's decisions. As a man, your son will make decisions for their future. As a young lady, her decisions are simple and from the home, and she should not be doing the things outside of the home much in that sense. Those kind of decisions that a young man will make, career decisions or things of that nature. A father does those things. But you young men, you must learn to make wise decisions, and you should be learning from your instructors, your father and mother. Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Brother Andrew preached a message, I think, he told me, I ain't got a chance to listen to it yet, last week. He said he preached a message on the first commandment with promise. Obeying your father and mother. Was that what you talked about? What's that? Honoring your father and your mother, right? And which is the first commandment with promise. Now, obviously, we understand when you have to separate and you don't have a godly father and mother that's not the case. We're talking to you here that have this in front of you right here. You have it here, right? We understand the other things, but this is for you. Keep my commandments and live. Very wise. There are times that your parents, contrary to what you might think, well, they must be just trying to ruin my fun. No, they really don't want you to die. I mean, that's a lot of it is that. They just really don't want you to die. Right? Like that. Kidding. They're just playing over there. But they don't want you to, right? They want you to live. They want you to be careful. They want you to be safe. They don't want anything to happen to you. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Proverbs 28:7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Running around with a bunch of wicked men, taking their counsel over your father's counsel. Running around with a bunch of drunkards, people like that. People that, by the way, there's going to be people, you go to work, you young men, and they're going to try to entice you. My son, when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Go with us, they say, right? Come with us. Let's go party. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Don't listen to them. Don't follow them. Don't cast in your lot with them. Right? What are they trying to talk you out of? Your mother and father's instruction. They're riotous men. Yeah, don't be their designated driver, right? Exactly. That's a good way to get caught up. It's a good way to become one, isn't it? Evil communication corrupts the good manners. Stay away from them. If they want to go kill themselves, that's their problem. You don't stay around. You don't stick around them. The Bible says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Proverbs, by the way, don't listen to, your father's going to raise you for all these years, your mother's going to raise you, and you're going to ignore their instructions, and you're going to listen to some punk you work with? I mean that. If you don't think I'd call him a punk, I'd look right in their face and call him one. Because anybody that wants to talk you out of your father's and mother's instruction, they're a punk. They're a fool. They want to talk you out of good, sound instruction. They're a fool. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. Question for you. Who will you follow? Young people, you're going to follow your friends, your own heart. By the way, that cease to listen to instructions, that talks about, to listen to the instruction of them that cause thee to err, that verse, when it talks about that, by the way, that goes for your relatives too. If your relatives, if your family members, your grandma, your grandpa, other people, cousins, whoever they are speaking ill of your parents, are speaking ill of the way that you've been taught, cease to listen to their instructions. Don't listen to that. Why? Because they're teaching you wrong. They're teaching you away from your godly mother and father. And it's wrong. I don't care who they are. They're not to do that. Will you follow the world system and its design? Will you follow ungodly men? Will you follow your own heart? Or will you guide your heart by the wisdom, discretion, understanding, and truth that have been taught by the Word of God? Will you follow your parents and their wisdom and instruction and guidance? Or will you be a fool and be guided by worldly wise man who has all the answers for you? Always has something to say. We'll talk about friends at another time, how to be a good friend and how to avoid bad friends. But for right now, the question is, are you going to follow your parents' advice, their instruction, their guidance, their wisdom, or are you going to be a fool? There is no difference. If you ignore your godly mother and father's advice and you have disdain and disrespect for them, then you're being a fool. Because God gave you parents that love you. And you are blessed children because of it. You better thank God for it. You better be thankful for your parents. Yeah, they're not perfect and neither are you. But you better love them and thank God for them. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the words of God. Thank you for the truth. And Lord, I pray that our children would follow, number one, the word of God above all else. Number two, they'd follow the instruction of their godly parents and wisdom. They'd follow the guidance and teaching of their pastor, the leadership of the church, and the direction that God has given through the Holy Scriptures. Father, help us. Help our children. Protect them, Lord. Satan wants all of them. He wants to devour them. But we have prayed for them, Lord, that their faith fail not. And Lord, we just pray you'd be with them. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.